Pastor Ray Bentley explains how Jesus was treated 2,000 years ago and will be treated as the last day's plan unfolds.
What did Jesus receive when he came? He received beatings, he received the beard pulled from his cheeks, he received a crown of thorns on his head, and he was the creator of all things. Now he will receive power, which he is worthy, that's what he deserves, and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When you stop to think of the majesty and power and dominion of Jesus, the creator of the universe, and yet how he was treated by his adversaries on earth, it's ironic and mortifying. But soon, as God's last day's plan unfolds, everyone will know him for who he is.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and we're going to finish Revelation, chapter 5. We've been in heaven for the last two chapters, chapters 4 and chapter 5. Look with me, we'll start with verse 1 of chapter 5. It says, "And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." And that's the document. When you loosen the seals, that's taking possession of all the contents, the redemption of the earth. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals.'" It says in verse 6, he says, "And look, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth." He thought he saw a lion, it was a lion of the tribe of Judah, but as he turned around, he saw a lamb. He saw Jesus who had laid down his life for you and for me. Oh, what a glorious thing that's going to be when we see Jesus. So he goes on, verse 7, it says, "And then he came." So here's where the whole scene leads to, that started in chapter 4, verse 1. It's all about the throne and the angels around the throne and the elders. But now, then he, Jesus, now found worthy, came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll." Literally, as you imagine this scene, now we have Jesus, as Jesus comes up and he takes the scroll out with seven seals on it from the right hand of God and pulls it back, ready to unloose the first seal, all heaven breaks loose. The moment Jesus takes this scroll, it's like, the angels are screaming and yelling and shouting and worshiping and bowing. And the 24 elders sitting regally on their and royally on their thrones get off and they're on their faces and they throw their crowns down and they're just worshiping and praising. And now we have in the rest of Revelation, the end of it, three songs. First, the song of the elders and the cherubim, and then the song of the angels that surround them, innumerable, and then all the way to the edges of heaven. These songs that go in three waves of a crescendo that gets louder with every wave of it, worshiping and praising the Lord. You know why God loves worship? Because it's good that we're in the Bible and we learn and we grow and we study and we understand. That's all wonderful, mighty, and beautiful. But God also loves the heart. And it's through worship that you share with God how you feel about him. Not just what you think about him, but how you feel about him. That's what worship is. And what is amazing about that is all that same worship and praise back in chapter 4 was given to God, the one who is sitting upon the throne. So in chapter 4, the Father, they're all worshiping the Father on the throne. In chapter 5, as the Son takes the scroll from the right hand of the Father, they begin to worship the Lamb in the same way. And as I mentioned here in your notes, the same worship to Jesus as the Messiah, as they did to the Father, means this is further proof of the deity of Jesus Christ, that the Father and Son are equal, that they are one, and that Jesus is worshiped as God in heaven. And so heaven begins to break forth. Let's look at the first song in verses 9 and 10. So he begins singing this song. Here's this new song that they sang, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals." Oh, he is worthy. Why is he worthy? "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." He is worthy. He is worthy of our affection. He is worthy of our emotion. He is worthy of our love. Why? Because he was slain for you and me. Pure love is sacrificial love. There is no greater love in the universe than that one lay down his life. And as the Bible says, it would be something if you laid down your life for someone that loved you and that was your best friend or your spouse or your children. But here is the love of God commended, that while we were yet enemies, Christ laid down his life for you and me. If he loved you when you were his enemy, how much more does he love you now that you have turned and embraced him and received him and love him and worship him? How much more? That's what the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 4. How much more now? The object of sacrifice is to restore the lost relationship between God and man. And that's what Jesus did. He restored the relationship between God and man. One man died so that all the rest of humanity would not have to die and could live in immortality. But here's the beautiful and the good news. The one who died for all the rest of humanity himself resurrected from the dead on the third day. He didn't remain dead, but because of who he is, death couldn't hold on to him. And like Samson, he flexed his muscles and he broke death and took away the sting of death like tinsel. It just snapped like cords. And he is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. Jesus is here. Jesus is coming. Jesus rules. Jesus reigns. And he says, "Whosoever will, come. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Let's read that from your notes out loud. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." And after Jesus redeemed us by bearing our sin on the cross, God raised him up and exalted him to the right hand. I want you to read with me Ephesians. I love this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. Let's read it out loud. "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It is in me. The glory of God dwells within every child of God, within every believer is the glory of God. And may I say, that glory starts as a little flame, but it's eternal. It is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, but that glory, once you are lit and the light and the life of Jesus is in you, it starts like a little flame, but it grows brighter. In fact, the way that the New Testament describes it is that outwardly we're perishing. Outwardly we're kind of fading away. We're getting weaker on the outside, but inwardly, Paul said, we are growing stronger. Inwardly, our glory is growing. It's like we're burning from the inside out. And one day, this robe of flesh will slough off. And we will have a new body that can hold and contain the intensity, the brilliance, the brightness, the warmth, the power of the glory that is internally within us. It shall increase evermore. So here, they're worshiping, and they're giving, the elders and the cherubim and the seraphim are praising him. And here, for the believers, he made us kings. He opened to men the royalty of sonship with God. We are his sons, and our Father has a kingdom, and it is his good pleasure to share that kingdom with us. Is that amazing? We're kings. Kings and queens, and to rule, he says, you will be joint heirs with Christ and shall rule. One time he's arguing, he's with the Corinthians, and he says, what are you guys doing? You're fighting, you're bickering, you're going after one another and suing and this and that. He goes, don't you know one day you're going to rule over angels? And you can't get these little earthly matters fixed up. He made us kings. And then he made us priests. In ancient times, only the high priest could go into the holy place. In fact, you know how often he can go into the Holy of Holies? One day per year. And if he didn't prepare himself and do everything and get himself washed and cleansed and sanctified and prepared, they tied bells around his ankles, the tradition goes. As he walked around and ministered, they would hear the bells. If he had blown it, and he would die because God's presence is too holy, he would just croak. He would keel over and die. If they stopped hearing the bells, they would drag him out. So there you are. There was under the old covenant. Here's the new covenant. Hi, honey, let's go. You walk past all of the courts of the men and the Gentiles and the priests and the Holy of Holies, both brother, sister, or husband, wife, whatever. We walk into the Holy of Holies, beyond the veil, in where, and it's not even the golden cherubim that are overlaying the wood. We are with the real cherubim in the presence of God before the holy throne of God, and we can abide there and have access there, both of us, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For everybody, it's the priesthood of all believers. We all have been given the place and the role of the ancient high priest after the order of Melchizedek. How cool is that?
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners.
Dear Pastor Ray, thank you and God bless you. My mom and I listen to you faithfully and have for a long time. Please accept our apology, as we should have contacted you sooner. You need to know how effectively the Lord is using you as his vessel to convey his saving truth. Please stay on our station. And yes, we're sending some support.
We're so encouraged when we hear that these daily studies are blessing people. It's a vote for the program to continue here, and your support helps make that possible. It helps cover the costs of broadcasting. Would you let us hear from you today? Write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, zip code 92127. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So that's the first song. Look at the next song, verses 11 and 12. So that's the first song of the cherubim, maybe seraphim, the elders. Now the angels break forth. This is the second song. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them. Now he's talking about the angels that are kind of in an outer ring beyond cherubim, seraphim, and elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The angels are singing that. Innumerable angels. The word myriad means 10,000 in Greek, but some have said it was a word that was used symbolically at times to mean a number that's too big. And then myriad times myriad, it just means innumerable, uncountable. And these angels are crying out, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom. Notice, those are the things. What did Jesus receive when he came? He received beatings. He received the beard pulled from his cheeks. He received a crown of thorns on his head. He received spitting in his face. He received rejection. He received challenge. He received dishonor. And he was the creator of all things. Now, finally, the angels are singing, the hour has come. The Son has grabbed the scroll. Now he will receive power, which he is worthy. That's what he deserves. And riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In the Old Testament, the Old Covenant rather, David sang worship songs, and I put this, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 12, because I want you to realize, David didn't go to heaven, he didn't have the vision John had, but he is so filled with the Spirit that David's songs were like the songs of heaven. Through his worship, that's how in tune David was. So let's read 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 through 12 out loud together. Therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. The song of the living angels And the elders told of the Messiah's work on the cross. The first song was about the work on the cross. Now the angels sing about the Messiah in his glory, in his resurrection, his eternal glory. To Christ belongs power, the power of God. To him belong the unsearchable riches of the Messiah. Jesus is described as the wisdom of God. If you want to know the wisdom of God, look at Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:11 says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Think about that. Not just Christians, but those who do not believe. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus, Messiah, Mashiach, is Lord. Even atheists will bow. Even the demons will bow. Even the devil himself will bow and confess Jesus is Lord. To him belongs glory, and to him belongs blessing. Blessing, and he uses all of his blessings and riches and glory and honor to bless us because he loves to share with his children. The one thing that we can give him that he wants and only we can give is praise and worship and thanksgiving. Now the last song, we'll close with verses 13 and 14. Here's the last song. And now this one goes all the way to the edges of the universe. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They fell down because of the presence of God. Did you know that the glory of God, when we talk about glory, the Hebrew word glory means heavy. The presence of God is so heavy that when those priests are in and the glory cloud manifests, they fall. You can't stand. I think I'll get down on my knees. No, the heaviness is so heavy, you are on your face. The presence of God is heavy. It brings you down to your face and you just worship him. You are being bathed in pure love and light that is the creation of all things. And it's radiating, but you cannot stand. That's why when they came to Jesus after he had been praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, he had passed through. Okay, Father, if there's no other way for man to be saved than the cross, let's go. And he woke up the disciples. He wanted them to pray with him. They fell asleep. He said, come on, guys, the hour has come that I told you about. Let's go. Judas comes with the soldiers. The soldiers had been sent to arrest not just Jesus, but all the disciples. Jesus acting as a shepherd to protect these guys who they don't really know what's going on. But he's going to make sure that they are left alone. "Who are you looking for?" Jesus said. And they respond to his authority, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." He goes, "Well, I am." And the moment he says, "I am," what happened to the soldiers? They all fell down. I love that. I just love that scene. You think that they were clueless. They weren't believers. They probably didn't understand Judaism, you know, and so here they are, and these soldiers, and they fall down. Do you think that you would get the idea if you fell down for no reason that maybe you're not in charge of the situation? Why did they fall down? Because in Jesus was the glory, the weight, the heaviness of God. And you know, when he said, "I am," you know whose name that is? That's his dad's name. That's the name of Yahweh, I am. That's right before he went to the cross. And that's what's happening in heaven. This song of praise, after it goes beyond the second wave of the angels, innumerable, it's like a cloud. It now reverberates to the edges of the planet, but beyond that to the universe, the solar systems, the galaxies, so it cannot go any further. It reaches the ends of the universe, praising and worshiping and giving glory and honor to the Lord. And the other thing that's beautiful about worship and praise, God inhabits the praises of his people. So the more you worship and show your affection for the Lord, the more you are filled with the glory of God and feel it. You don't just know it, you feel the presence of the glory that dwells within you by faith. Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley, leading our study of the prophetic book of Revelation. Glad you're joining us in our journey here on Maranatha Radio. And today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention "All Heaven Breaks Loose." We'll be happy to send it to you for a gift of any amount. Again, it's called "All Heaven Breaks Loose." And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Revelation on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write: Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Pastor Ray, as believers, we know the Word of God is our spiritual food. It nourishes us spiritually. And you have a resource that you'd like to send our listeners to make sure they get a balanced meal every day for a whole year. Tell us about A Year in the Word.
Well, Dave, you know, from the time I was a young believer and got discipled, you know, we're all to be disciples, learners, followers, lovers of Jesus. How do I grow? I don't want to remain being a baby Christian. I want to grow up. I want to mature. I want to learn the gifts that God's given to me, what talents that he wants to use in me, what is his purpose for me. So they said, well, in order to discover that and in order to grow, you've got to read the Word daily. Okay, so where do I begin? How do you do it? And what I love about this particular reading through the Bible is generally you get a couple of chapters that you read maybe from the Old Testament, and then there's a psalm, and then there's a scripture from the New Testament. And so in the year, you're going to read from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. I think you're going to do probably Psalms, maybe in Proverbs a couple of times. And so it gives you a little mix, a little from the old, a little from the new, a little bit from Psalms. And you put all that together. I think you go through Proverbs twice as well. It's just a very balanced, healthy, spiritual diet to take you through the whole Word of God in a year.
Yeah, it really is a great Bible reading plan. Especially if you've never read the Bible all the way through, resolve right now to make 2019 the year you do that. It only takes just a few minutes a day. And at the end of the year, you'll have been spiritually fed a great balanced meal, the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The resource is called A Year in the Word. How much does it cost? Well, there's no money involved. We want to hear your thoughts. Yeah, we want to hear a comment from you on how these studies touch your life. So send a few thoughts today. It doesn't have to be your whole life story, just a few thoughts about what you've gained from listening. And then we'll be happy to send you A Year in the Word to thank you. So write us today at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. or order online at raybentley.com. Next time, we'll take a brief break from our studies in Revelation as Pastor Ray joins us in the studio for something special. So join us next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.